Hey viewers, real quick, click the top link in the video description to join my mailing list. I'll have merch and a book coming out soon, so join the mailing list and I can send you updates on those things. Thank you.
Ever. There's not any break-off species from the clam turning into something else.
Wait, hold up. So real quick, I want to introduce Planet Peterson. So my dude, this is actually awesome. I didn't know that you were going to join my panel. Thank you. You know what? I'll let you handle this, Planet Peterson. Go ahead and shine. Tell him why he's wrong.
The idea that in the fossil record we never see anything change or anything, that's completely false, unless what you meant was something that's just so obvious that it has no bearing on the truth of evolution. So when you find a fossil, you cannot see evolution in a fossil of an organism. That's just so obviously the case. But what's also so incredibly obviously the case is that the farther back we go in time and we look at fossils, the fossil record of the past is composed almost entirely of organisms that don't exist anymore. But organisms are produced through reproduction. Ergo, we have a couple of different possibilities. One, life, completely unrelated groups of life, have just been randomly, spontaneously created over hundreds of millions of years for absolutely no reason. Or two, the organisms of today are the descendants of different organisms from the past. Ergo, evolution happens.
Okay, well, the problem is you've described how things came about, but you haven't described where things come from.
That's not the theory of evolution.
I understand that, but things come from somewhere. They don't just arise all at once. And that's what the fossil record shows, organisms.
No, it absolutely doesn't. Does the archaeological record show that Rome actually was built in a day? Not a day, in an instant?
No, because we have carbon dating for that.
Does the archaeological... Okay, so what I was trying to say is, do we see a very slow, gradual building of Rome from literally the very first brick that was laid down all the way to the creation of the Colosseum? No, because physical evidence will always have some sense of incompleteness in it. And so will the fossil record. But the fossil record really clearly doesn't show that. I don't know what you mean. Again, I don't know what you mean by life all of a sudden just pops up. We can see very clearly that all of our fossils that are billions of years old are microbial, right? There's a very clear gradual emergence of more complex organisms in the fossil record that is 100% consistent with the idea of evolution that was proposed more than 200 years ago.
What, you still haven't discounted the carbon dating?
We don't use carbon dating.
What did that have to do with anything, though?
Right.
Because you can carbon date all of those fossils and everything, and all the fossils or whatever, they roughly show up at roughly the same time in history.
No, they don't. What are you talking about?
No, they don't.
They do.
You're telling me that the Smilodons and the La Brea tar pit are the same age as stromatolites?
I'm not saying that carbon dating is.
No, it isn't. Because first of all, you can only carbon date things up to about 60,000 years old.
Right.
Because at that point, the number of half-lives that have occurred, the amount of radioactive material that's left over is basically indistinguishable from background radiation. But second of all, well, there is no second of all. That's actually it.
How do you know that those bacterial species are billions of years old then?
Because
you can have using other different types of radiometric
dating. I think a lot of people think that carbon dating just is the only way you can date rocks, and that's not true. Carbon dating is how you can date certain organic things, not rocks, but certain organic materials by comparing ratios of carbon. But for other things, we use rubidium-strontium dating or uranium-lead dating or potassium-argon dating. There are others off the top of my head. That's all I can think of.
Yeah. Also, I got to preface this too. So when we date things, we don't just use radiometric. There's also like fusion track, fission track dating, dendrochronology, There's also, what you call it, paleomagnetic dating, and there's even like electron resonance dating as well. So we don't just use like radiometric dating, but what Plant Peterson just said was, yeah, we do use primarily these when we are looking at certain strata and trying to estimate the age of a fossil,
etc. Well, I mean, the other problem with the fossil thing, the reason why it's incomplete is because most of the stuff that was fossilized was marine life and dinosaur bones, and that's pretty much almost
that's the extent. That's simply not true whatsoever.
Yeah, that's not true at all. But it actually makes perfect sense that the fossil record would be composed overwhelmingly of marine organisms because a marine ecosystem where you have tons of sediment is highly favorable to the conditions for fossilization. But life originated in the oceans also. So it would make sense that quite a lot and the most common fossils are like organisms with shells. That also statistically just makes it more likely that you will fossilize because they don't tend to, there are very few organisms that will decompose those things. And so anyways, without going on a big long rant, but also we kind of, I forgot about that. You said this earlier, all the fossils show up at the same time. That's like not even remotely true.
It is.
No, it's not. Not even close, so, dude.
I mean, it's not. Where are you getting that information from?
Young Earth.
Who taught you that?
Young Earth creationist. I literally just walked out of the room to get some squirt out of a 2-liter. But as soon as all the fossils appear at the same time. Yes. Yo, Starry, it's amazing. Hey, Planet P, real quick. Would you mind giving me a follow back? I believe in theistic evolution. I'm a Catholic, but I'd love to have you up on my live stream because I'm going to be doing lives with the same topic. Evolution is a theory in effect. I'd love to have you up to as a guest or just to chime in with your expertise. I've seen some of your lives before, but never had a chance to talk to you. So
only if you come on my podcast.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. My podcast is the Chase the Giant podcast. So I'd love to do that.
Gotta love a good quid pro quo.
I'll DM you the same.
That's the thing though. Like
my work.
Like John. So you seem to be very deeply confused about this stuff. Like no, like. This is why we have so many different dating methods. Like the way you would test a mammoth fossil is not the same thing that you would test for like a T-Rex or the same thing you would test for a trilobite. We use so many different types of dating methods, and there's so many ways of testing it. Like there's like you can't say they all exist at the same time. But they don't even exist in the same strata. This is why we have relative dating and absolute dating, right? Where we find certain fossils in a certain strata continuously across the entire world. This is how we managed to construct plate tectonics, how we know about how continents were fused together, split apart many different times, from Rodinia, Euramerica, to Gondwana, to Pangaea. So you can't say that all the fossils exist at the same time. It makes no sense. It contradicts everything.
I should have prefaced that better. I don't mean like all fossils as in the whole of the whole entire fossil record, like bacteria and phytoplankton and all that stuff. I'm talking mostly like vertebrate animals.
That's not true either. No, the earliest vertebrates appeared during like the early or mid Cambrian, with like Pikaia began, like with like a like an early toothless fish. Like no, and seeing where its fossils are located, we don't find the fossils of T-Rexes. We don't find a fossil of like bony fish like Dunkleosteus. We don't find any of these guys at all. We don't find synapses. We don't find, you know, pterobirds. We don't find any of these things in the same layer at all. So you're wrong again.
It's true that during the Cambrian explosion, most of the phyla, the major phyla we have, appear, but the Cambrian explosion, even creationists like Stephen Meyer point out that it's a period of at least 5 million years, as many as 15 million years. So that's really not at the same time. And if we can like get into like niche, well, it's not really niche partitioning, but like radial evolution or whatever. When niches begin to be exposed, you get a huge amount of proliferation and diversification. But anyways.
Oh, that's radiation.
Yeah,
but when you take a look at the whole of time of Earth in general or whatever, humans show up in the last 5 minutes of the entirety of Earth's existence.
Yeah, it's not really important for the argument. But also, this thing about the Cambrian explosion is that argument is 150 years old and it's outdated because we now know about the Ediacaran, which precedes the Cambrian period, and we see a lot of gradual evolutions of organisms from then, like Dickinsonia, don't laugh, that's actually its name, and many others.
Hey, John, may I ask?
Yeah, like Klingspergina as well. Dickinsonia, Spergina.
John, may I ask a quick question around, so clearly you believe in that fossils exist. So I'm trying to understand, do you believe in any part of evolution? Or so, you know, you agree that there are fossils. So where's kind of the line for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, and only a fool would sit there and say fossils don't exist. I mean, they're everywhere. And I mean, someone's not walking around in the government agency, like running, like throwing around fossils and stuff and be like, oh, look, there's a fossil over there.
Okay. So do you believe in evolution?
No, I absolutely don't. I believe that everything that ever was appeared relatively at the same time. It's more of a creationist view. And mainly if you take a look at the Bible in general or whatever, it gives a time frame of when creation happened and what happened during creation. And it said
which version of creation?
Yeah. What do you mean, which version of creation?
Genesis 2 or 3.
Which chapter?
There's two stories.
Early sarcophagine fish, right? So what? So they were able to connect this brainstem to the heart in a single straight line, right? However, though, when early fishopods, right, the transition between fish and tetrapods began to develop necks. The problem is that nerve got caught up, I think, like a certain arch that it was around the heart. And so what happened is that instead of doing this direct line from the brainstem to, you know, the heart, it instead went around. So that's why you see the recurrent laryngeal nerve of giraffes like 5 meters long, where it should only be like, what, maybe half that distance. So like Plant Pearson, that a good description of it? I'm trying to remember it. It's really difficult.
So evolution is, Darwin always called it descent with modification. So evolution can't start over brand new from scratch. Sometimes genes get duplicated, and even Hox genes get duplicated. So body parts, you got more than one, and then eventually it can be modified into something else. But this laryngeal nerve, the only thing it could possibly do to accommodate for the change in the body structure was to lengthen by tiny fractions of a millimeter every many, many generations. And there's no problem with doing that at each step. The problem is after 100 million years or 200 million years or whatever, you end up with a nerve that has this extremely stupid pathway through the body.
Yeah. So evolution is not perfect. So any kind of idea you may have of evolution just simply getting bigger and faster and better, that's simply not true. Evolution makes tons.
Well, see, the reason I picked the giraffe was because it's an exaggerated animal, and it would be easy to find in a fossil record in order to show the transition over time of this adaptation or this change occurring.
Which we do have a pretty healthy record of the fossil record concerning giraffes. Like wasn't there like a recent discovery of like a giraffe ancestor that at least giraffe relative that had like a big dome head? So yeah, we have a pretty good healthy record of giraffe evolution. Which is not perfect, but it's pretty good. We can go through it if you want to. Let me pull it.
Actually a pretty easy Google search. I just did it of the evolution of evolutionary tree of the giraffe. It's there. It's pretty well documented.
Yeah, but giraffes eat from trees, so how can you use that tree as a source? That circular reason.
actually, the reason a giraffe has a long neck is almost certainly competition among males for mates. Because really? They actually don't eat very leaves that are very high up on a tree. But giraffes, the way they fight is they go, bam! So their neck is actually just a lever.
I mean, I've heard of that, but the problem is, though, is that I've heard of that hypothesis for like a giraffe having long necks, but to me it doesn't really make too much sense, because the reason why is because both males and females have long necks. So it's like, well, this isn't like a sexual dimorphism kind of thing where one trait is found in like one sex. It's like, well, then sure. Why do the females have long necks then?
true. So I probably shouldn't have said the only reason. But funny enough, I have two giraffes right here.
Oh, let me pull you up your screen.
It's like too many coincidences. John Bobby, like... Okay. Now, I would say this is evidence that you need to accept theistic evolution. John, if you believe in God, God did evolution. There you go. Now you don't have to argue against reality anymore.
Well, it has nothing to do with arguing against reality. I mean, I sit there and I see a picture of giraffes or whatever like that are much smaller than the modern day giraffes, but they're still giraffes nonetheless. They're not something else.
No, yeah, they definitely were something else.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. And why do we not have fossils showing the transition?
We do. They have much shorter necks, and they have, their anatomy is completely different.
We do, though.
Yeah. You're talking about giraffes still being giraffes. I'm talking about what came before the giraffe.
No.
Because giraffes didn't just randomly appear, because you guys don't have the creationist aspect, okay. So you don't believe that giraffes just magically showed up one day.
Samotherium major. It's literally not a giraffe, but it's a transitional fossil of a giraffe.
Yes. And also to explain a bit further, so the earliest giraffes, guess what they are? They're called artiodactyls, right? Which are part of a larger group that contains things such as the pronghorn. So even the pronghorn looks very similar to the giraffe. So it may have been the earliest type of giraffe before there were even giraffes, right, was probably very anatomically similar to a pronghorn. Now, before that, then you basically have to talk about like more clays, like freaking Boroeutherios or something like that. So we do have tons of fossils of the evolution of giraffes. Have you looked into any of this at all?
Yeah. That's why I use the giraffe specifically.
I highly doubt you have, because you just said there's no good... I'm pretty sure... So correct me if I'm wrong here, but you said there's no fossil record of giraffe evolution. Did you say that, or did you not say that?
I said there's no fossil record showing that you have one species turning into the giraffe.
Then you are demonstrably wrong.
Okay, I would like to see evidence, because I can't provide you with no evidence when there's no evidence to present.
Well, the problem is that you claim that you've looked into this, but I'm pretty sure I can pull up several different Google
scholars' papers. One leak is all I would need.
Okay, I have one leak. Okay. I don't know the original context, so I'm sure I could get it. CBS.
I mean, I'm not trying to be argumentative, and I've actually looked for the giraffe.
We're the ones that are usually asking.
Don't worry, we know you have.
Don't worry, it's okay. But there's just something here. CBS News says, for years, there's been scant fossil evidence showing how the giraffe evolved to have such an admirably long neck. But now the remains of a 7 million-year-old creature with a shorter neck provides proof that the giraffe's iconic feature evolved in stages, lengthening over time, found in a study. And again, I can find that.
But that's still talking about a giraffe that's just an older giraffe with a shorter neck. I agree that the giraffe's neck has gotten longer over time. That's
not a giraffe, John. It's a 7 million.
He's moving the goalposts. Wow.
Completely different.
I just want to clock out and say thank you so much, everybody. This was an amazing live.
Hey, Lil, good to meet you.
Good to meet you, Special K. I'd love to have you up on my live. Planet Peterson, thank you for the follow back. I really appreciate it, considering you're only such a few number of people. I do appreciate that. I'll come on your podcast. You guys will see me on there soon. I would love to have you talk to a lot of the Christian fundamentalists on my live. Guys, everybody in the chat saying you're surprised, I agree. You can agree with this and be a theist, guys. The father of the Big Bang Theory was a Catholic priest, so this doesn't contradict our faith. Yeah, so that's why I'm up here explaining that I believe God, is the author of evolution. So just theistic evolution. You don't have to be afraid of it here. Instead of banging your head on the wall against reality, you could just accept what reality says and recognize that the universe being billions of years old is actually more beautiful than it being thousands of years old. I mean, doesn't that make you feel more special? And God did all that for, I mean, right? Like, I personally think that's more wild, that it's like, yeah, it was 4 billion years. That's way cooler than 6,000 years. Like, every hair on your head is numbered. Yeah, and it took 4 billion years to get to the first person. Think about that. All right, y'all. Peace out. God bless. Thank you all.
Thank you, QB, man. You're always welcome to come up.
Fascinating. Says, researchers are calling the remains of this ancient beast true transitional fossils, not only closing an evolutionary gap in the rise of Earth's tallest animals, but also providing concrete evidence of how one creature evolved into another. We actually have an animal whose neck is intermediate in length. It's a real missing link. This was New York Institute of Technology, College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Do they have more than one?
I don't know.
I mean, it only takes one.
From here, John, you can look this up, all right? I mean, already a quick Google search, I was able to find this.
You only asked for one. It only takes one.
Source. You did. You said
No. I'm talking about, did they, like, pull up multiple of these fossils, or is there just one fossil? I haven't said anything that's, like, contrary. I'm just asking questions. Like, there's no reason to get angry or upset over it.
No, we provided you with stuff, so if you want to know
more. Oh, I'm just talking about a source. You're talking about one specific.
Which is what you asked for.
You asked for a single source, dude. Just one source. You didn't ask for how many, like.
Don't move the goalpost, please.
I'm not moving the goalpost. I like I said from the beginning.
Wait, hold on real quick. John, your goalpost is all the way down the field, dude. I can't catch it. Can you just bring it back here?
Do you remember what I said from the beginning? I believe that adaptation of animals over time. That's not in dispute. And one form of giraffe turning into what it is today by having a longer neck over a period of time. That's adaptation. That's not evolution.
By definition, over
adaptation is not a thing that happens.
Tom Peterson?
What'd you say?
Adaptation is not a thing that happens.
Sure it is.
It's not.
The animal that's most suited to its environment is going to be the one that survives and propagates.
John, what is the... What causes organisms to have the adaptations that they have?
Genes.
What is the only... You are correct. What is the only way... for those adaptations to change?
Mutation.
For the genes to change. What is...
Yeah, mutation.
What is genes in populations of organisms changing over time? What is that?
Adaptation.
It's called...
Evolution.
It's called evolution.
Evolution, dude.
That's not evolution.
Not a thing
that's literally
that happens.
That's the definition of what evolution. It means. It's a textbook definition, dude. Hold on. I got like literally three freaking AP biology books in front of me right now.
Let me ask. I'm trying to be as respectful as I can, and you guys are not being serious at all about it.
No, we are. Wow. Adaptation is an end product of evolution taking place. Adaptation is not a thing that happens.
It is something that happens. I'll give you an example that'll work in modern day and real time.
At the end of this, what's going to happen is the source for this adaptation you're going to tell us is that organism evolving. But go ahead.
They wouldn't be evolving. Okay, so just say every guy on the planet or whatever that's under 6'3", all right, girls all of a sudden no longer have sex with anybody that's shorter than 6'3" or whatever.
I'm
so,
in!
Are you saying all of a sudden that men are going to be, or the human species is automatically going to go taller as a result, right? Because now they're getting constantly influenced with genes that are 6'3". So if women keep having sex with only guys that are 6'3" or taller, eventually the human species or whatever is going to be like the norm is going to be 6'3". That's not evolution.
Yes,
that's just selective breeding equal into an adaptation.
Changing over time is evolution. The definition of evolution.
Yeah. I feel like you don't understand what an allele is. Like,
and
okay.
Also,
so
nothing that you said there was adaptation. You didn't even use the word.
No. In fact, you use the word genes, which is evolution.
Yes, because adaptation and genes go hand in hand.
Right, as do evolution.
Adaptation isn't a thing that happens, though.
Exactly.
Traffic drives cars instead of the other way around, John. It makes zero sense. Traffic doesn't drive cars. Cars cause.
So you don't think the environment can influence change?
Of course it can. It's called natural
selection. Well, that would be an example of adaptation.
No, it's not.
Which is a
Adaptation is an evolution. Is an end result of selection on certain genes causing changes over time. Adaptations can't happen unless evolution happens. Like, even you know that. An organism can't adapt if it doesn't change in some way. There are really small tweaks in gene expression that happen. Like, for example, some animals, their fur changes color with the seasons or whatever. But nobody that believes in evolution thinks that that's what evolution is.
What about the squids that can actively camouflage themselves?
That's a trait that they have, yeah.
But that's adaptation. They're changing to their surrounding.
And the only reason they can do that is because of the particular genes that they have. And the only way to acquire different genes that serve different functions is for evolution to occur.
What I mean by adaptation, I'm not talking about something like, for me, example, I'm never going to be 9 foot tall or whatever. It's just not going to happen or whatever. But adaptation for the species is what I'm talking about, where, say, if a person that has a specific attribute or whatever, and it allows them to breed with more people or whatever, that attribute, that's adaptation going off into the future of the species propagating itself.
So you've just substituted what you at first did was say that evolution doesn't happen, it's adaptation. Now what you're saying is you're describing evolution and just using the word adaptation instead.
Well, see, evolution isn't about necessarily and specifically only about one organism changing incrementally over time and they just stay that one organism. Evolution is about transition from one organism into a completely different organism over a huge swath of time.
That does happen, but that's not what evolution is. The peppered moths, their population evolved, even though they were still peppered moths at the end.
I would argue that they've changed, yes, but have not evolved.
But well, okay.
Real frequencies changing is evolution. That's just
Also, real quick, John, do you know what an allele is? Do you know what that so do you remember in middle school where the teacher told you to draw that funny little square with
the Pundit square? I'm familiar with genetics.
You do understand that. That is literally how evolution happens, right? How certain, like, over time, like, certain offspring will have this kind of trait.
Well, that tells short hair, long hair, brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes, all that sort of stuff. That's just basically showing you the probability of outcome of dominant traits versus recessive traits.
See, because the problem is that you're thinking of evolution as the development of new species, and that's not what it means.
That's specifically what the definition is.
Can I say something?
That's not what the definition is at all. That's what macroevolution is. Yeah. Microevolution is simply small scale evolution, basically changes within a population, right? That's what it means. So no.
You really shouldn't.
Evolution can lead to speciation, but it doesn't always do.
You shouldn't really use micro and macroevolution. That's like a creationist talking point.
I'm sorry, can I hear me?
Can you hear me?
Am I good?
I can hear you, Paleo.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Can you hear me, guys?
All right, cool, he just silent.
Okay. Yep, I hear everyone.
Okay. Now, so the whole idea of macro and microevolution, that's like
a... It can lead to a new species. It doesn't mean new species.
Paleo, could you hear that other guy talking?
I could not. I mean, I heard...
Oh, because we all could.
Oh, crap, what was he saying?
He was just saying you shouldn't say micro and macro evolution because it's a creationist
document. Yeah, so technically speaking, so it was a biologist who coined the term micro and macro. Now, of course, I know it's just evolution, but I was trying to make it a lot more simpler for him to understand that. Like, if we understand evolution, then, okay. Technically speaking, you could break it down to these two little categories. Macro, which is evolution at or above the species level, and then microevolution is effectively, evolution within a population. It explains why there are so many different breeds of dogs, cattle, cats, right? Even though they're all still technically the same species. While macroevolution is why we have lions and tigers and leopards. They have the same genus name, but they're all different species, you know?
Yes. But I think the variation that we're getting at is you guys are talking about more like genetic variation. I'm talking more genetic drift.
No, you're not.
You weren't talking about that. Nor would that
remotely
matter for our argument.
No.
Because
they're not really relevant.
Well, the point I was trying to get at or whatever earlier was like, how do you have everything come from bacteria that we have today?
Well, changing the subject big time.
Change the topic.
No, it's just rehashing the subject that we talked about earlier.
John, what do you really want to talk about? Like, what is your contention with evolution? Because when we explain to you that evolution is not simply just speciation, you move the goalposts. When we explain to you how genetics can influence evolution, you didn't understand any of it. When we explain to you the evolution of the giraffe, you didn't understand any of it. Like, what is the like what is your
argument? Can I address something real quick though?
Okay, he's gone again. How long is it? So, but John, what is your argument? I don't know how we can help you because you
or
keep...
what evidence would you be looking for, John? Missing to you? Because the fossil record is not missing; it's there. So, what's missing?
The question I have right now is okay. You have the beginning of time or whatever, as far as the Earth is concerned. All right, then you have the emergence of bacteria and stuff. Is there any argument there, or are we still in agreement so far?
High level, go ahead.
Because I'm trying to figure out where our opinions or where our thought processes are diverging.
We've only said two things so far. I would keep going.
Okay. So at what point in time, like, did we have this explosion of life?
Multicellularity really helped.
Yeah. Which we can actually demonstrate, like...
We can have thousands of single-celled organisms, or millions, billions of them, but at what point do they become complex, like, and lots of them all at the same time?
Well, we had to have endosymbiosis and multicellularity first.
Yeah, and
evolution, we're not claiming that the explosion that you are referencing is not something that evolution claims.
Yeah, but also we have extraordinarily strong evidence of each of those things.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there's no argument that there's fossils of bacteria, cyanobacteria, and all these other things. But, like,
and chloroplasts are endosymbiotic bacterial captures from billions of years ago.
Yeah, the time frame isn't an issue for me. I'm not going to argue that. But the like all of a sudden we seem to have vertebrates, invertebrates, and land creatures.
All of a sudden, John, is getting you caught up because
hundreds of millions of years.
No one is claiming it's all of a sudden.
But when I say all of a sudden, I mean like I'm not saying that millions of years is a short time. I'm just saying that like. The variation, the amount of variation of species and stuff that we seem to have and the amount of them that we have doesn't seem like enough time has passed in order to populate to that point.
Well, it did pass.
That makes sense.
Apparently it was enough time because that's what we can see from the fossil record.
We have such a way bigger problem than that. John, if you believe... You think the Earth is only a few thousand years old. So if you're right, your model about how life and the way organisms adapt...
I believe I just said that I have no problem with the 3 billion years. So I don't know where the few thousand years...
Like you said earlier, you think everything was created at the same time and recently.
Yeah.
No, I did not. I said it came about at the same time.
You said that earlier.
John, this is all recorded. You did say that.
You said that earlier.
No, I didn't. You can go back and look. I did not say it was 1,000 years. I never said anything.
All the fossils were found in the exact same layer. This is all recorded.
I didn't say they were found at the exact same layer. I said they happened about in time, all roughly at about the same time.
Yes.
And I was talking about the ocean, the shells and clams and all that stuff.
Okay, so do you think Earth is billions of years old or not?
I think it's highly probable that it could be billions of years old. Like I said, it doesn't have any specific time frame. I have no idea. I have no idea. I wouldn't be able to speak intelligently about the age of the Earth or the universe.
Do you think that it's possible that the Earth is only a few thousand years old? Because if you ask me, it's literally not possible.
Would you say you'd say that it's absolutely impossible?
Absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm not gonna knock it out of the park and say that it's impossible. I'm gonna say it doesn't say. There's nowhere does it say in the Bible or any other Bible how old the Earth is. It doesn't say. And since it doesn't say it, I can't declaratively make a statement that says it is 10,000 years old or 5,000 years old or 2 billion years old or 5 billion years old.
Okay. Do you think that the story of Noah's Ark literally did happen?
Yes, I do believe it did happen.
So do you think that so far cataloged, we have 1.5 million species, but a lot of conservative estimates say there are 10 million species. We can just go with 1.5 million. Do you think the 1.5 million species we have today are the direct descendants of the only a few thousand species that were on the Ark?
When you're talking about are you only talking about land animals?
Like literally whatever you want to believe. Yeah, we can go with land animals.
I think it's possible that he could have had land animals on there specifically and only.
So earlier, a little bit ago, you said hundreds of millions of years is not enough time for all this diversification, but apparently 4,000 years is enough time for a few thousand land species to turn into the 800,000 species of insects alone.
I didn't say I did believe that. I said I'm not going to discount it because it doesn't say specifically. But as far as the Noah's Ark thing or whatever, it says he's got two of each animal. It didn't say how many animals were actually on the Ark.
Yeah, but it couldn't have been all 1.5 million species.
Yeah, like, also, by the way, on my page, I'm actually posting how zoology disproves Noah's flood. There is no possible way that flood is true. There's no possible way.
No, that's...
It contradicts everything we know about paleontology, zoology, dendrochronology, it contradicts everything we know about physics, everything. There's no possible way that flood could have happened at all.
There is an explanation that I heard recently about how it could have possibly just been a localized flood and not like a global flood.
Correct. That may be true. A localized flood, not a global flood, which we know never happened.
I've also heard a couple other things, like the sea levels were much, 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 much lower than they are currently than they are today. Because there's actually four times more water in the Earth's crust than there is on top of the Earth.
4,000 years ago, dude. Not 4,000 years ago.
I never said 4,000 years ago. I don't know why you guys keep repeating that.
Your argument is irrelevant.
Yeah.
How is my argument irrelevant?
Because it has nothing to do with the flood narrative, which occurred around that long ago.
Who says it?
You said it.
Who says that the flood happened 4,000 years ago?
Literally, if you read the Bible and you add the genealogy, it takes roughly around 4,500 years ago. Yeah.
If you actually read the Bible, it does not list the date on when the flood actually happened. The 4,000 years ago is a prediction about when it happened.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not trying to bring the Bible into this. You guys keep pulling it back up.
I mean, I'm okay with bringing the
Bible. Why believe in Noah's flood if not for the Bible?
What are you talking about?
Let's change the subject to evolution.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not the one that brought theology into this. Yeah, you guys keep asking me questions about it.
Right. So John, I'm curious. So you believe that adaptation happens? I'm wondering why there really isn't that big of a leap from what you're talking about, from what you're calling adaptation. There really isn't that big of a leap to evolution. And again, I believe there is
evolution is what we're talking about, but trying to use the terminology that you're talking about, if you believe in adaptation, what's stopping you from believing in the evolution?
I'm not saying that species can't have small changes over time. I'm not saying that.
So you're saying that you don't believe that speciation occurs?
I'm saying that one species didn't populate the entire Earth as we know it.
Okay, John, the problem with all of this is the implications for your argument is that life is not many billions of years old. Because the idea that life would just be static over these billions of years, even though small changes every generation happen, as you admit, it means that there's absolutely no way life would remain static, right? And so, again, we're left with either just thinking the Earth is only a few thousand years old, which is absurd, thinking that the Earth is billions of years old, but life has been static for, like, ever since it was created, basically, with only small exceptions, which is absurd, and there's no evidence to support that idea, or that random groups of living things that aren't related to each other have gone extinct, and then brand new ones have just popped up out of absolutely nowhere, miraculously created, even though the entirety of genetics completely disproves that. Those are the only alternatives I can think of other than evolution happening. So I don't see what your problem with evolution is, unless you admit to all these things we've asked, like, do you think blank? And then you go, no, that's not even important for my argument. It actually completely is. Because otherwise you're just not even taking a stance on anything. You're just like, I don't like the idea of evolution.
No, I've already told you where I stand. I'm just saying you keep pulling out an argument that you don't like, and you keep using it as a straw man against me. And that's what I'm saying. You can't really sit there and keep throwing Noah's Ark up in there in 10,000 years when I'm not even using that as a defense.
So then then you tell me, John, how is it that you admit that organisms do adapt and microevolve just over the course of a couple generations? How is it that they remain static across billions of years?
I'm saying they don't turn into completely different animals.
Yeah, I'm saying,
like, you're not going to have a fish.
John, how is it that they don't radically change after billions of years with small changes happening every single generation? How is that impossible?
I think that's kind of where I was going, John, in that the small changes that you're talking about, if they keep happening and keep happening and keep happening, these small changes over a very, very long period of time are ultimately going to change these and diversify, especially when you're talking about genetic isolation, you know, groups of animals or organisms moving to different areas. So, and then they change and adapt, and then the other ones change and adapt, and they continue these small changes over time. Ultimately, it's not that surprising to find that you're going to have something different. It doesn't happen like a mother organism doesn't give birth to another completely different organism that looks different, right? It's all over time. And eventually, that's what speciation is. So I guess it's just, I don't see it being that big of a leap when you put what you're talking about with adaptation with billions of years. When you couple those together, I just don't see it as a big leap.
I can see it as an animal changing over time or whatever, but the animal's not going to go from scales to fur to...
Again, that's
well, we have good evidence to suggest
how
it
is
happened.
It that over billions of years,
right,
those changes are impossible? What's your argument?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, it's not going to turn into something completely different. I mean, even if,
what's
even in the
repeating yourself, why, dude?
It's tiny Jesus, changes, man. John. They keep happening.
It's not a why. A giraffe's not going to go into the ocean, start swimming around, and then magically turn into a whale.
That's not what
Pachycetus did.
Saying that.
These are small changes.
Yeah, they're small changes that ultimately end up in one big change eventually at some point.
No, there's never one big change. There's never one big change, John. They're all small changes. But then when you look from very early on to a billion years later, when you compare those two, yes, there's a big change. But
but there's never an instant in time where a big change happens.
Yeah, and that's the big change that I'm talking about. It's
no, but it doesn't
over a billion years. Eventually, that one those incremental little changes and stuff. You're stating that a big change is occurring over a billion years, where that animal is now something else entirely.
See a billion small changes results in a dramatic change.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, John, if you want to go over the evolution of mammals, this is the things that make up a mammal are amazing. And we can literally see that from the beginning of the Permian around 298 million years ago, all the way until you get to the Jurassic when the first true mammals appeared. We can literally see that, dude.
And then you have the extinction of the dinosaurs all at once because of a meteor impact or something.
No, all the dinosaurs went extinct. We have birds. No, what I'm simply saying is we look at
the dinosaurs.
Yeah, birds so we look dinosaurs. At the earliest ancestors of mammals. What you can see is they had many different bones within their lower jaw, just like what you would see in reptiles. But over time, the gentry begin to expand, pushing out those bones to effectively then become the middle ear. However, though, we do see a slight little change where we see a type of mammal called a Morganodon that had double joints. So it had a structure that was similar to that of a reptile's, but on its way becoming a mammal. So this is a good transitional fossil between animals that were effectively similar to reptiles in animals that leads directly to mammals. We can directly see that. So you're just not even looking at the data. You're just ignoring it. I highly doubt you even know what I'm talking about. I can bring you studies suggesting this has happened. Thanks. Right?
John.
Yeah, I think I know the dinosaur that you're speaking about. It's got feathers and a lizard.
This is a mammalia form. This is not a dinosaur, nor is it a mammal.
But there's a number of species that sort of do what you're talking about.
Not really. No, the specific characters I'm talking about is the squamosal and the dentary, right? And then also the articulate and the quadrate. No. So this was a structure structure are found in reptiles and a structure found in mammals. This animal has both. It's losing the structures of a reptile and it's becoming a mammal. We can see that. Like, come on.
John, what language do you speak?
English and Arabic.
3,000 years ago, did anybody speak English?
3,000 years ago. Pre-Roman. I don't know, but it's probably unlikely.
The answer is no. Nobody spoke English 3,000 years ago. When was it that one day people woke up and started speaking English?
I'm not sure.
Obviously,
they didn't wake up. It would probably change. Something had to turn into English at some point if it wasn't already spoken.
Yep. So is it the case that one day one generation spoke this one language and then the very next generation spoke English? Is that how it happened?
No, it's probably something more along the lines of how English turned into American, turned into slang, turned into bonics, turned into whatever.
Yes. Okay. That's where we went with that. So... Well, in other words, really small incremental changes, very small changes to the language where it never becomes a different language. Each generation over time produces completely different generations. We don't have to ask for what was the point where Proto-Germanic turned into English, because that's not how it works. Everybody knows that's not how it works. So this thing with evolution... Where you keep saying, I just can't understand, when did the giraffe go into the water? That's not what happened. It's microscopic changes every generation. But when you do, what happens when a billion microscopic changes happen? Well, you have one thing, you have something millions of years later that has accumulated billions of changes different from the ancestral population? What if you change billions of things about something? It's not going to be the same species anymore. If you don't get this at this point, I don't think we can even talk about this anymore.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So
are you sure about that? About
any of that is impossible?
It's not impossible for something to undergo changes over time. That's not impossible. I'm not refuting that.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
So that's what I'm saying. It really is not a big intuitive leap to understand how it happens over billions of years that you're going to end up with something.
What I'm saying is
look that much different from the generation before that, but looks very different from thousands of generations before.
What I'm saying is you're not going to see humans turn into mer people at some point in time in the future, no matter how far into the future you go.
Some things won't happen, but other things do.
Right? You keep raising these absurd examples, but no one
keeps on pivoting. Wait, hold on. Hey, real quick. Hey, John, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. Are you a basketball player? Because those pivots you've been doing throughout this entire live stream,
it's like, yeah, broken ankles.
John's got,
yeah, bro.
John's got two left feet, and they're both pivot feet.
Well, I mean, I'm not the only one sitting there making parallels over here. Like, I'm just joining in the conversation.
How was that?
That was me. Well, by me, I mean it was this thing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, but seriously, John, like, you know what? I've never seen anyone just duck and dodge and pivot so many times throughout a live stream. It's been a wild one.
But I can see what you guys are saying. Like, I'm it's not like I'm oblivious or whatever. What the it still comes back down to, eventually we had one thing, and you guys said that's not what you're saying at all, but I don't see how else it could have happened.
That one thing didn't just turn into humans. All right. That's kind of like what you said when you first came on. It's like, well, you know, we came from a single cell organism that, and all of a sudden there were humans. And no, that's not the claim. And that's what I think that's what we're hoping you're seeing, is that no one is claiming that, you know, that these things happen in a single generation.
I'm not saying it happened in a single generation. I'm just saying it happened at some point in time. Is what you guys are stating.
But hold on.
It actually doesn't happen at some point in time.
You guys are getting hung up at a fixed location. I'm just saying.
Because evolution is fairly predictable, right? We can see a certain trend.
We're hung up on your words.
That something happened, right? That all of a sudden something happened. And what we're trying to say is no, something didn't happen. It's some teeny little things kept happening all along a long period of time.
Yeah, maybe slight modifications, because that's what Darwin said when he wrote his book, Descent with Modification, meaning you are a modified version of your ancestor, right? You're not exactly like them, but you are still technically them, because you are still within their evolutionary history. And the exact same way humans are animals, we are mammals, we are vertebrates, we are deuterostomes, how we are apes, we are all of them in one. We may not be like the other apes, like the other mammals or the other eukaryotes, but we are still eukaryotes, we are still mammals, we are still apes. So, I don't get what you're not understanding about this, because...
I'm talking about our origins. 3 billion, you said 3.5 billion years ago, roughly. Our ancestors were basically phytoplankton and
not
what
phytoplankton.
Else?
Oh, God, no. Dear God, no. What? Phytoplankton? Aren't they like close related to like plants?
It's one of the original organisms on the planet or whatever.
No, that's the earliest life form.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The origin of humans. The origin of humans. What single celled organism is supposedly our ancestor?
So Okay, so this topic is very tricky. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Yes.
And that came from where?
A single-celled organism.
Okay, and that came from where? I'm talking about the complete breakdown of beginning of time.
Homo heidelbergensis. Probably Homo erectus. You're talking about Luca, which that goes back very far. Humans didn't come directly from, just like, it's like you're asking me, when did the first, or not the first, when did people who spoke Latin
start
speaking English?
You guys keep pivoting on me about this. Like, where does the origin of the human
eventually start speaking other languages that eventually morphed into
languages? No, John, I understand what you're talking about. I understand what you're asking. I mean, essentially, abiogenesis happened, which is still, you know, being discussed. And what you're saying is how did we get to where we are from abiogenesis? That's a logical question. But there are answers. and we did. I don't have that whole tree going back, but I have a feeling it wouldn't take me very long on a Google search to find that.